T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us this morning. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker.
Still here, man.
Still here. Did y'all hear the good news?
No.
We have been so successful that they have expanded this station into Anderson.
Awesome.
All because of us.
Are you allowed to say
that? Is that the way it worked, Angela? Just because of – oh, she doesn't know. She thinks it was because of us.
The rumor is now, all the way to the state line of Georgia.
Yeah, it could be some of those shows they run Monday through Friday, but I don't think so.
That's right.
I think it's us.
Yep.
I mean, they have to pay those people to come on the air. We have to pay to come on the air. Come on. You can't expand paying people.
That's true. That's true. All the way to the state line of Georgia, Keith.
That's why we're here.
And next year, if we're here – if you guys decide to do it
we've already committed, so you're in.
It would be 17 years, is that right?
Start 17th year in January.
That's insane.
That's hard to believe.
That is really hard to believe. That they would let us stay on the air that long.
Yeah, true.
That we didn't say something that got us thrown off the air.
Yeah. I've tried that a couple of times.
I think about that guy from North Hills Automotive once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
That was more. That's a pretty.
You can
funny
keep
story.
Talking, but
but
nobody's going to be listening.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, the reason that we have been here 17 years is because we always get great calls, questions, and comments. It's funny. If we should have taken a picture the first time we did the first show. JD and I must have had half a ream of paper, a piece,
yes,
ready to talk about this, that, and the other, and we got two phone calls and. You know, there was no text line in the day, and we're like, well, we didn't even talk about what we want to talk about.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we figured out, well, that's the point of the show.
I think the
talk about what the listeners want to talk about.
I think we had some
about.
Exhilarating notes on the good faith estimate or something. I mean, it was just terrible.
Thrilling stuff. Yes. I mean, just thrilling stuff.
Yep.
Now, the real-life circumstances are the good calls, right?
Absolutely.
People.
This happened to me, and what do I do?
That's right.
Well, and, you know, quite frankly, that's the way we do the show.
Now, those are tougher questions because – there's so many variables, and in a real estate transaction, it's so complex, so many details, so many moving parts. But we try to give them a short answer and
sure.
a long answer.
Yeah. And if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, do give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. And welcome to the Anderson County listeners. I have to call Mom and Dad, wake them up.
Yes.
They can turn it on.
Hey, you know what? Now, old Graham would listen.
He would.
Just to critique the show a little bit.
Later, that's right. And then, of course, if you've got a text question, the text line is open 71307. That's 71307. We'd love to hear from you. And in my third hour of show prep this week, it came to my attention that, and I think this is an old practice, Keith, but attorney got a title order from the real estate agent and then immediately sent out a questionnaire to the buyer that said, tell me about this, how you want to hold title. Tell me about this, how you want to do this. Tell me about this. And I thought about you because one of the questions on there was, would you like a survey? And, of course, this is a first-time home buyer who checked the box yes and sent it back in. And then they were shocked when they got to closing and said, what's this $600 right here? And so I thought
well,
that
the
would be
a handy dandy thing you signed about yeah. 30 days ago.
And I thought that would be a good thing to talk about because it's been a while since we've talked about the necessity of a survey. And I think if you go back in your career, 10, 15 years, it's probably very standard. Getting a loan, getting a survey.
That's
getting
right.
a loan, getting a survey. And then I'm no title expert, but then short form title came out, which does not take exception, you know, from the standpoint of you don't have to have a survey. And it kind of just went away.
It has. And I would say it's down to about, if I had to give you some anecdotal data, I'd say probably 30 to 40%.
I would think even less than that.
That do get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a guy call me.
30 or 40 of my clients.
Yeah, no, right, I understand. Yeah, which is about 5% or 10%. Yeah. I had a guy ask me for a survey. You're doing a refi.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know what he's planning on doing, probably to put up a fence or something in the backyard.
Sure.
He wanted to confirm his property lines,
right,
which can only mean two things. You're putting up a fence or you got a dispute with your neighbor.
Or your neighbor put up a fence.
Yeah.
one of those two.
It's one of the two.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we're doing a refi for him and refinance. And the he said, you know, I want to get a survey done. He bought the house about a year ago. And so, yeah. There's either a dispute between the neighbors or somebody's
got something in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's right. So
it's happened to me. I had two situations, both on the same house, that it would be good to talk about. But I think it's something that listeners, it's interesting that you bring it up. Somebody wants to do it on a refi.
Yeah.
Because generally you see it on a purchase. But I know that Keith Clark has a prepared conversation he has with his client about whether you need one or not.
Process.
And you know, the conversation talks about the implications of it, but it also lets the client know that when you get to the closing table, if you do not get a survey, the attorney's going to have an affidavit for you to sign that says you didn't. He recommended one and you do not want one.
We'll be right back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'll report it. Well, welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson and Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We are taking your texts and phone calls today, talking a little real estate here on House Plans, 866-442-7553. That's 866-442-7553. I believe that our phone number was down there for the first segment, but it's back up and running now, I believe, 866-442-7553. So you should be able to call that number and get through. Text line, of course, is still open. It's 71307. Appreciate our listeners letting us know about the text line or letting us know about the phone line there in the first segment. Having a little technical difficulty, but
absolutely.
We are back.
Listen,
and
when you expand like we did to another county, have things.
You're going to have some transitions.
You have some transitions.
Yes.
There are things that happen that are out of your control. But we do want to welcome Anderson County. And as J.D. said, all the way down to the Georgia line. So we got to be creeping into Oconee.
And County Bank's got a branch right there.
That's
on
right.
Main Street.
We got two down in Anderson.
We do. That's correct.
One on 81 and one downtown. Here to serve you locally.
I was over there a few weeks ago and had lunch at J. Peter's on Main Street. They've got a beautiful downtown Anderson.
I haven't been, my dad, that side of the family all grew up down in Anderson.
Mine too.
I haven't been to Anderson in a while. It's been a few years.
It's nice.
When my grandparents passed and my uncle passed, we don't have as much reason to go as we used to. We used to go every Sunday afternoon.
Well, you could go down there and visit Graham and Van, help them with the garden.
Yeah, true. We go to
can
North
you
Street
imagine
right
JD in the garden?
Oh my gosh!
Just
I have a question for you. I have a serious question.
He'd have to have a 9-iron in his hand. If he,
oh my gosh! My back would be done.
It's hurting thinking about it.
It is. After about an hour, I'd be done. So I saw a picture of the Roberts. They went down to Columbia, all of the Roberts, and I believe it was ring ceremony or
ring
something.
Ring ceremony for Morgan.
The only question I had was, did Graham drive?
No.
He didn't.
No, that's not true. He did drive. They met us down there because they had a car full in my car. So they met us down there. So
well, before we get to the phone, this is a great story. So we decided we were going to go to Atlanta Braves game. And Chris said, I got some great tickets. My dad got them. And so I said, well, I'll just meet you over at his house. So we, I drove over there, and I pulled my car in right behind Graham's car. And Chris just looked at me and started shaking his head.
Yeah, you're going to have to move.
He said, you're going to have to move your car. I said, I'll drive. It's fine. You know, no big deal.
You're going to have to move your car.
No, you'll have to move your car. And his dad takes driving seriously, you know.
Well, so. He's the only one that knows the secret way right. out of the Braves parking lot that will get you home 20 minutes faster.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He does. He has a secret method that does not share with anybody.
Yeah.
All right. Funny. So let's go to the phones.
Yes. We have our good friend Robert in Spartanburg. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, we're doing great.
I run into a situation this week with OfferPad and the iBuyers. I wonder how you handle mortgages with them.
So give me a little bit more information. I know what those are, but tell me specifically what happened, and then I'll give you some idea of how it works with us.
Well, I don't know. I actually lost the listing in reality, my intention is to know how the buyer will be able to handle a mortgage through them with a company that doesn't offer the assistance from their realtor.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is the large aggregators, iBuyers that are out there right now that are making offers to buy houses when people are thinking about listing, and they're trying to beat everybody to the table. And they're doing it electronically. And so in that particular situation, you know, when they turn around and resell that house, I think a lot of times they keep those and turn them into rentals. But if they don't and they keep that house and then turn around and relist it or put it on the market, then what we find a lot of times, and JD deals with this more than I do, is JD gets asked a lot of questions and is asked to handle a lot of duties that usually a real estate agent would handle. And unfortunately, because we're not licensed, we can't do that. Right, JD?
Yes, it does make me, anyway, very uncomfortable, especially when, you know, they're asking questions. It's really, it would fall into the realtor's arena of responsibilities.
Yeah. A highly qualified agent would be able to handle all those questions. And so it's kind of interesting when that happens. It's very similar to like a for sale by owner. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing a transaction that way. The problem is when you do get in the weeds, because there'll be a little. I mean, it's not always a forest fire, but I mean, sometimes there'll be some weeds. And well, a good example, we're talking about surveys. So that question may come up when you're dealing with a situation like that and you don't have any expert on the ground with 25, 30 years experience to sit there and tell the buyer, well, here's how that works. Here's what you should be concerned about,
and,
right,
and
Keith?
And why. The why is oftentimes more important than the what. And Robert, I'd be interested in, do you know who the iBuyer was? I read this week that that Zillow did $1 billion of iBuying, which would include primarily for them, I think, flipping, Robert. I'm not sure exactly, but do you know who the iBuyer was?
Well, it's OfferPad. This was brought into the subject, and also Zillow as well. The situation is that automatically they are buying much lower price than anyone else could sell it for, and therefore the disaster or the situation is that the whole neighborhood brings the price down.
That's right.
Oh, that's exactly right. Because you know when they turn around and buy it versus listing it, then it is, Robert, you're 100% correct that now you've created a new comparable for all your neighbors.
So I don't understand. I'm not familiar with this. So basically they're contacting people who haven't listed their house yet?
Well, you know, I mean,
that's
you
right.
got
so
you
they
got
do
all...
a, they and the they are thinking about listing. I don't know whether they generate that through
and they'll buy it at 85, 96.
They'll run
an
AVM and make them an offer at a discount.
And then they turn around and list a house and try to get
sometimes
the listing.
Sometimes they flip it, sometimes they rent it.
For the purpose of trying to collect the fee for listing it, is that what they're trying to do, or maybe make
well,
a little
no,
money?
They're no, trying no, to no, make they're... the spread on what. The, so
right.
what they're doing is they're saying, look, you can list your house in Greenville or Spartanburg. Days on market is 60. And I know that number's not exactly right, but let's say it's 60. Mm-hmm. Or tomorrow, correct, you can show up and we'll give you X. And so it's kind of like
a bird
it's kind
of
like, well, yeah, okay, think about this. You've done this before. Got a used car to sell. Well, you could go put that thing on Craigslist and deal with it, or you can drive it to any dealership, CarMax, and say, write me a check. Well, you know when you do that, you're taking
the
discount.
Discount, yeah.
The difference is when you sell that car, it's not impacting everybody that lives in your neighborhood.
Right.
When you take a 5, 6, 8% discount.
And I think the average, Chris, statistically is more than 8%.
Wow. Okay. So if you take a 10% mm-hmm. discount on your house to get the money today, okay, then that impacts every transaction in that neighborhood, because now it's a comparable. And unlike a foreclosure where a appraiser will look at that appraisal and go, well, you know, this was a foreclosure, this was a distressed property, we're going to kick that one out. We're not going to count it because of the condition and because of the situation. On the iBuy situation, not so much. I mean, it's a legitimate buyer buying the house. And, you know, I think sometimes people think that it's very similar to the discounted listing. Absolutely not. You are selling your house to them, and they are going to turn around and either flip it or rent it.
And there are two things that I've read about that are the negatives. One of them being that there are some expenses that the iBuyer uses or adds that typically are not disclosed up front. And so there's a little bit of turbulence that they don't. So they sell, their value equation is no turbulence. Show up and
pick up your check
and get your check.
Right.
You don't have to show your house. You don't have to put a lockbox on it. You don't have to clean it up.
All you've got to do is move.
Is show up. But the value equation for the iBuyer that they convey is not necessarily what the seller thinks it is when they go to closing. And Robert, I would be interested in if it goes to closing, by the way, it's typically written with the contingency that they can walk away.
The iBuyer,
so the iBuyer can walk away at their discretion, almost like
so
a
due diligence.
So let's
say that they have it inspected or appraised.
That's right.
And the appraisal comes back. Let's
maybe
say it's
lower
got,
than they thought it was.
Yes,
or
there's peeling paint, things that they would not want to take on.
Then they're going to want a discount for the repairs.
Yes.
And so there you've got some unexpected expenses.
Is
for
that what your person experienced, Robert? They thought they were getting one thing, and then they got chipped away and chipped away and chipped away and wound up with another?
No, I never really made it all the way to have them as clients. However, they said, well, we decided to go to iBuyer because it's much less of a commission. And then they don't call it commission. The iBuyer company, they call it fees.
Fees,
you know.
Yeah.
So
yes,
think about this.
And charging fees, and it's 7% charging fees.
Yeah, so you're paying a fee.
A lot of convolution around.
You're paying a fee to sell your home at a discount. Now, think about that for a second. Yeah. I mean, you're paying. So you go.
You better reread that document.
Yeah. You go shopping and they say, hey, we'll sell you this $20,000 car for $15,000. And you say, fine. Then you get to the cash register and they say, that'll be $2,250.
That's right.
And you're like, whoa. Well, there's $7,250 worth of fees. I mean, you didn't expect us to pay those.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I do think – I tell you what would be interesting, Robert, is you probably in preparation for your listing went and did some research about the right price analysis or what that property is worth. It would be interesting to go into the county records and see at what price did the deed transact and how much less was that than what you thought it was worth. Because, you know, there'll be a deed – that'll show what it's a public record. It'll show what it transferred for. And you know, they used cash money to buy it, I'm sure, and did it in a hurry. But you would be able to figure out what that net number was depending on how they handled the fees. Because like Keith said, well, they may want to adjust the price, or they may just want to throw it on the HUD, you know, because there's not going to be a closing disclosure if it's done with cash. It's going to be done on a HUD. And you just start taking those fees off, which could artificially make the price look higher. So that would be an interesting,
very interesting,
just to see how far off it was. Because Keith, you think that the discount is over 8%?
I do. Yeah. I'm not. I've only had one instance where I had an outbound client to Atlanta who was called me about listing his home. And so I did a little bit of due diligence for him as a favor, sent him some numbers. And he had, I can't remember who the iBuyer was, but he took it too. Now, he had some relocation benefits.
Yeah, that probably covered his difference.
That may have helped offset some of his cost.
Sure.
But he afterwards, he said it went smoothly for him.
Right.
But I've also heard many stories of it not going very well.
And when you say not going very well, some kind of
surprise
wanting
cost.
To renegotiate after the
walking away. I think they have the unilateral right to walk away in the contract. So they would not use a standard Board of Realtors contract.
Which in Chris Roberts' terms means, I'm out.
Yes, they can pull the ejection cord.
Hit the eject.
At their own discretion.
Yes.
And then the seller will jump through more hoops than they thought they were going to have to.
Right.
So the value equation for the iBuyer is it's easy, simple. Here's the number. Show up and get your money. But once you get in the transaction, maybe not quite so simple.
Absolutely. But something
No, it's here, brother.
It's here. It's very aggressive, especially in hot markets, and we're certainly in one of those. Well, Robert, I appreciate you. We got to head into our bottom of the hour break. I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. And if you do look up that deed, I'd be interested to see what you find.
I will certainly do that.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
I'll be with
you. All right, you too.
Yeah, it'd be great if he'd send us an email.
If he sent us a follow-up email and said, here's what I found, because, you know, it is true. Listen, you got something you want to sell, take it to the pawn shop. You're going to get retail or you're going to get discount? You're going to get discount. Use
and
an
when you
buyer.
Hold your hand out at the pawn shop, you know what they do?
Yeah.
They throw those hundreds down right on top of
it. That's right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, it's a nice equation. It's like J.D. said, time, money, and how much trouble are you going to deal with? Well, listen, you're listening to House Plans. Chris and J.D. from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from The Buyer's Broker. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with The Buyer's Broker. We are here talking a little real estate today. If you've got any questions or comments about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we'd love to hear from you. 866-442-7553. Toll-free number to reach us. And, of course, the text line is open as well at 71307. Appreciate Robert calling in the first segment there. And kind of kicking us off with a good question about iBuyers. It was I've got educated a little
Edumacated.
Bit.
Edumacated, J.D.
Yeah. Yes.
That's impressive.
It happened. iBuyers happened very quickly, probably over the last 24 months, usually in major markets. So there's more activity
sure. In
the major markets around the country. And
I'm not sure I fully understand
What they're doing is they're obviously using big data.
That's right.
To figure out when people have the potential to sell their house. And then they're serving up ads going, hey, close in a day. We got cash, pounds of it, and we'll close in a day. And then, you know, like Robert said, he went on a listing appointment. These folks went down the iBuyer route instead. And what they do is okay, we'll close quick, but you're going to have to, you know, we're going to give you a discount. We're not walking in a home and looking at it. We have no emotional attachment. It's a business decision. So we'll give you X of what we think it's worth. And then to Keith's point, the contract is written in such a way that they turn around and basically write in their favor because they have not seen the house.
A due diligence clause and a unilateral right to rescind.
Yeah, and so the other thing that they do that you'll find very interesting, J.D., is they say, well, you know, this agent that you were going to list your house with there, we're going to charge you a fee. So, you know, you're just going to have to pay us a fee. You're going to have to pay us a fee to buy your house.
To the table.
And we're going to pay you less than it's worth, but you're going to have to pay us a fee for that privilege because we're going to put the money in your hand on Friday.
Yeah. That's a pretty good description, Chris.
It makes sense. I get it.
That's a pretty good description of what's happening.
Well, and listen, I get it. It's just like we talked about on the car. Do you want to deal with Craigslist and meeting people looking at your car or put it on this website or that website? Or you want to drive it to the dealership and say, How much will you write me a check for?
We know what JD would do, right?
Yeah. JD will
what
take,
JD has done.
JD will take twice. The 12 over the 16 every time.
Yes.
He said, you know what I did? I handed him the keys. I left with a check.
Yep.
I mean, how hard is that?
It is.
So
it's funny how some things you're like that about, and then there's other things that you know,
like, whoa,
you'll drive
whoa.
Across town to say 50 cents. You know what yeah. I mean? So, anyway.
Well, and I think the thing that Robert brought up is, you know, our friend Robert Ortega up in Spartanburg brought up is very important. Now you got a comp, and that comp is a discounted comp. And so
attention Thornblade sellers.
Yeah, when you leave the neighborhood, you better leave to the other side of the night.
Yeah, you better leave at night. Colts leaving in the middle of the night heading to Indianapolis. Yeah.
How you like it when all your neighbors say, well, wait a minute. Our property values just went down 10%.
Yeah. Everybody's like, what? Did you see?
Well, I mean, you know, let's think about it. You got a neighborhood that's got 150 houses in it, and one happens. No big deal. You got a neighborhood of 30 and four happen. Now you got a problem.
Yeah.
And that will set the new base. The interesting thing is the person left holding the bag, guess who? It's going to be the iBuyer because they won't be able to sell at the new price if you can't get comps.
That's right.
So – you know, it's one of those, the cheaper they buy it for, the more they're working against themselves. And I would imagine that part of their algorithm and process to identify properties they want would not be in small, isolated pockets. You know, they're not going to buy, I wouldn't
no,
think.
No, they need the data to be able to do it.
They need the data to support everything they're doing because that's how they're doing it.
Well, in honor of us going to Anderson.
Yes, and we should say we're on 101.5. In Anderson.
Yep, 101.5. So, Keith, you did a good job. We had our morning huddle in Anderson in our Anderson office yesterday. It ended up getting canceled, but I gathered some Anderson data to share with our loan officer, Stacy Burrell, down there. And I thought it would be a good idea to maybe talk a little bit about the Anderson market today. And we've got the year-to-date numbers. These are actually through September. But you made a very good point about the diversity of the market down
That's
in
right.
Anderson.
That's right. Because it's a fairly large geographical area and the median price changes dramatically because you've got the smaller cities. You've got Anderson and you've got Seneca, then you've got
Clemson.
And Clemson being really almost a separate market.
Sure.
And then you've got Lake Hartwell and a distinction between Lake Hartwell and Lake Kiawee as well. So all the diversity of geography and, I would say, many markets, for lack of a better term.
Make up the Western Upstate.
Multiple listing service.
Yeah,
or so, border realtors.
Anyway, but year-to-date, they are 43-21 over 41-54, so up about 4%.
In the number of solds, I'm kind of impressed with that number. That's a good number.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
Geographically, it's large, but population-wise, not as large as us.
Yeah, about a third.
Four. I was going to say you could tell that by the number, just simply the number of listings. Traditionally, you know, we have somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 listed. How many they got, JD?
Honestly, I didn't look at the listings.
2133.
2130.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and they've got about 4.7 months of supply, and so their market is a little, more healthy as closer to in balance, still in a seller's market, I would imagine.
That's right.
But a little closer than we are.
Yep. And then, of course, month over month, September, 429 September, and then 431 last year. So pretty flat from where they were. Days on market, 106. Last year, 105. So
yeah.
And it takes a little longer. And I would think the lake properties, you know,
they do.
Unique buyers you got
yep.
in that area. So maybe not as many buyers in the Anderson proper, if that's what you want to call it, you know, area maybe buying.
Well, anytime as the higher the price point, the longer the days on the market.
Sure.
And so that weighted part of the market up in Kiawee and Lake Hartwell is going to be longer days on the market.
Sure.
Where you might find in Clemson, Clemson proper or proximity to the university, you're going to find shorter days on the market.
Sure.
And would you say that the median home price, you know, it's 180 over 172.5 last year, is the median home price, can you really put stock in that with the diversity of, you know, $1 million on Lake Kiawee and, you know, $100,000 on such and such
street?
Yeah,
I think you really have to segment that.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at the lake, you need to look at it uniquely.
Sure.
And really,
well,
Kiawee
very much Keith,
independently
like what you,
of Hartwell.
Yeah, very much like what you talk about here. When we start talking about the Greenville market, you always like to point out, look, when you get north of 500 or 600.
That's right.
While that is in the overall numbers, that is a completely different market and would have to be viewed separately if you're looking for that trophy home. And I would imagine it's the same thing there. You would have that segment of the market that is Lake Hartwell. Then you would have that segment of the market that is Lake Kiawee. And I would imagine that even though those are both lakes, they're very different as well, right?
They are, yep.
You know, one of the things, too, one of the limited experiences I had down in Anderson was in Clemson. When Simone, my daughter, went to Clemson, she lived on campus the first year, and then I think her junior and senior year, they rented a house outside, just right outside, you know, the university area right there in Clemson.
Wait, who rented it? Them or you?
Oh, well, I did. Yeah, it was me. I was the one writing the checks. But anyway, but I remember they had a little three-bedroom, maybe one bath, maybe two bath, one and a half or something like that. And like I usually do in areas, I looked up, okay, what's this house
worth?
Because I know what I'm paying for rent. And I was astonished. I would think that market is a very good market to buy in. Now, this was, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years ago. Clemson is growing like crazy down there. But this little house, I think they were getting like $1,200 a month rent, and I think you could have bought it for like $100,000 or something, you know. So it was
a good ROI.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Well, and of course, the beauty of that university market is they rent those things by the bedroom.
Yeah,
and I would not be surprised. JD has never told me, but that if you added up the bedrooms, it was probably renting for $1,800 to $2,100 a month.
That's crazy.
With a price point of $125, and of course, my daughter's at Carolina. I saw the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's crazy for sure. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break here. We do have a couple text questions that we're going to get to right after we get back. We listen to House Plans. We'll be back right after this. That's the number, all right, 866-442-7553. And, of course, if you want to catch us during the week, if you've got a question about buying or selling or maybe you want to refinance, rates are still really good, you can call us at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663 during the week at County Bank Mortgage, or shoot us an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com.
All right, y'all both need to smile really big because I got two softballs.
Oh, okay.
One for each of you. We're going to go with Keith first. The question is, does owning a property in the city of Greenville ensure any type of security for the value of the property? Or another way to ask the question, does owning in the city limits ensure value of the property, or is it any way an indicator of future value to come? And, you know, we always talk about, you know, local real estate, street by street, line by line. And while we were discussing this during the break, Keith, you said an arbitrary line on the ground really doesn't matter.
No. And the short answer is no. That city limit line does not provide any security of value.
What it does ensure is you'll pay more tax.
Pay more mills and taxes. You'll have city police protection.
Right.
You'll have trash pickup by the city, which I think they pick up both your
leaves
landscaping
and
debris as well as your traditional trash.
Don't tell JD that, he'll move down there.
But you but you will pay for it.
Right.
Oh,
that's
well,
right.
Never mind.
So I would say that the security of value is based on location, not an arbitrary city limits,
right,
or geographical.
But it
boundary
is true, for what you're going to pay in the taxes, you are going to pick up some additional services. And one of the other points you made, Keith, is that oftentimes a developer who is developing property on that borderline, since they have the one and only vote for the lots, will often try to get that piece of property annexed into the city because it's cheaper on them on the A&D, right?
That's right, because most developers require both the public water and public sewer in order to achieve the yield, the lot yield that they need. So they might need 2.3 lots per acre. In order to do that, you need sewer, public sewer, And so traditionally and historically, developers will buy that large piece of property that butts up against the city limits or the county, a certain boundary.
In anticipation.
And then annex it into the incorporated area. Public sewer and public water would be run to it, and then they get the density that they need to make
the math work.
Make a margin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, we talked about it in the 15, 16 years we've been on the air. You know, it's amazing how many times we've talked about the condo development downtown, and we'll pick or talk about River Place as an example. I remember when some of those properties first came online, two-bedroom, you know, two-bath, and we were all going, what? $200 a foot, you know, $250 a foot, $300 a foot. And so some of those properties sold when they first came out of the ground of $250,000, let's
That's
say.
That's right.
And
That's
we
right.
were all astonished.
$250,000?
Yeah. And then we were also astonished during the downturn. And then we said, you can buy that for $150,000?
Yes.
And so, you know, that was a huge.
And should have.
I mean, I'm talking about $100,000 swing during the downturn of the market. And then now you could probably buy one of those or sell one if you had it for $400,000.
Yep.
And so now we would say what, Jetty? $400,000. But,
yes,
you know, and of course those are certainly in the city limits, and condos are a little different animal, but as the market and the market conditions change, property values change. And one of my favorite Keith Clark lines of all time is, you make your money the day you buy it and you realize it the day you sell it. So you always have to make a good buy coming out of the gate, right, Keith?
That's right. And unless you're sure you're going to be there for 30 years, right? In the long run, 30 years from now, the differential will be spread out over a long period of time.
Sure.
And it won't make as much difference. But the typical home buyer will sell their home in 5 to 7 years historically.
Sure.
And so that the differential will make a difference.
The older you get, 30 years isn't what it used to be. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Now, two mistakes I've made in my life, I've made a bunch, but two of them in the real estate world is not buying those condos we had a chance to buy. I think two
That's
of
right.
them. Downtown Greenville should have done it.
Scared.
And the second was Daniel Island had a chance to buy two deep water lots for about $150,000 each.
That would have been a home run.
Well, the problem is I wouldn't have hit it. I would have gotten the second base and sold and doubled my money, but I could have quadrupled my money.
They're probably worth $1 million a piece now.
Probably.
And as soon as it got to $250 a piece, JD, what I said, let's take the cash.
Yeah.
But instead,
Molly bought a unit at Poinsett Corners at the original auction.
Yeah.
And she paid $275 for
it. And everybody thought she was crazy.
Yeah. She overpaid for it. She sold it, got her money out of it about 6-7 years later when she moved to Atlanta. And today that unit would probably sell for $500.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. I'm not surprised. Well, here's the second question we got. First-time homebuyer bought in December of 18, and they're getting calls from their mortgage broker talking about refi. Is that a good idea?
I would say most likely, yes, it is a good idea. The only thing I would say is don't call the guy who closed it. You ought to just call JD.
Well, you'll give
County
him
Bank
a free
mortgage. Yeah, second opinion.
How about an ask?
Ask JD at countybankmortgage.com
is
the
real
email.
Simple, won't you?
Real simple. But here's what I would tell you. And we talked about this before the show started. Most of people who bought in 2018 up until probably at least the end of February of 2019
right.
need to seriously consider talking to the person that closed your loan or county bank about looking at a refinance. And the reason
sure.
being is because the rates improved so much in March, April, and May
right.
that most of those people are paying north of 4.25%, some as high as 5%. And on top of that, if you're in a loan that has private mortgage insurance or an FHA loan that you purchased.
Right, which at that point in time would have had permanent mortgage insurance.
There's a good chance that you can refinance, lower your rate, lower your private mortgage insurance, or get rid of it, and move from an FHA loan with permanent maybe to a conventional loan with what we call non-permanent.
Yeah, and so what we do over at County Bank is we offer you a free second opinion. So if you'll take your mortgage statement, scan it to JD, and then email it over to askjd@countybankmortgage.com, it takes JD just a little bit to look through it, research the value of your property and come back and say, here's what it would look like, free of charge, doesn't cost anything. And then, you know, if you want to compare that to what your current servicer is offering or your current mortgage person, we would say that's a good idea. But you would be shocked. The listeners would be shocked at how many times we do a second opinion and the person is paying way too much. I mean, we did one. JD did one 2 weeks ago. We talked about it on last week's show. $5,000 in fees that this person was being charged. And on top of that, they were being put into the wrong product.
It makes me uncomfortable.
$5,000 in closing costs. Keith.
Yeah, and that was on a purchase. Yeah.
On a purchase.
Yeah.
They were astonished, and an eighth in rate on top of that.
And I would say one other thing that's very important to know is if you allow us to go a little bit deeper, so we look at it the first time and say, here's what we think, and then you go a little bit deeper, we are finding that about 20% of the refis that we're doing are not requiring appraisals. So once again, it saves you a little bit of money. And so, you know, I mean, saving $400 or $500 on a refi, it's a big deal.
We did so many equity savers in June, July, August, September, October, and still doing them for people that bought their house in 2018. And then we're coming back and doing a no closing cost option.
No money out of pocket from the borrower.
Yeah.
And we're not financing it in. We're just paying the cost.
Yeah. Especially on the larger loan sizes over 300, it makes sense. But even on the smaller ones, many times that's your first time home buyer who has private mortgage insurance that they're paying. And of course, with the agreements that we have and the relationships that we have with some of our preferred mortgage insurance companies.
Sure.
Many times we are able to offer a lower private mortgage insurance rate than you would get by going somewhere else.
They base it on two things. One, what type of business do you have? And of course, we're a community bank. And then what has been the risk of your overall portfolio over time? And to JD's point, a lot of bigger banks, box banks, they don't get this discount. And so our borrowers, in some case, will get a 10 to a 20% discount because we as a community bank get a 10 or 20% discount on our mortgage insurance. And, of course, we pass that on to our customers. And some of JD's favorite conversations with the customer is when the other mortgage company says they can't do that. They can't they can't give you $52 a month because I know it costs $78 a month. And JD said, well, if you show up at closing, I promise it'll be this number.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It's often quite a bit of savings. I mean, you start talking about saving $25, $30, $40 a month just on the mortgage insurance, that's crazy good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I know sometimes we'll get an email and somebody maybe wants to just figure out the value of their house and that kind of thing, and we can do that as well. But just send your mortgage statement. That's the most important thing. And we can correspond via email and figure out if it's the right thing or not. We just got one that came over just now, so we can definitely take care of that and would definitely love to help for sure. So not a bad idea.
Absolutely. I do appreciate it. We certainly also want to welcome all of our Anderson listeners on 101.5. We'll try to do a better job of covering that market now that we know you can hear us down there. And, of course, guys, Veterans Day weekend.
Yes.
We certainly want to shout out to all our veterans. Really appreciate it.
Yes. We'll be there on Monday. Most banks are closed. County Bank is closed.
But we'll be there working.
The County Bank mortgage people will be there and working with smiles on.
Absolutely.
On
so if you're off on Monday and want to talk about refi, we'll be there to talk to you.
Yeah.
They think about it, and it's hard to take action because you get busy in life. But we'll be there. And you can always get started by just scanning that mortgage statement over to JD at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And like JD said, what is my house worth? We can help you with that too.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are thinking about selling, and Keith helps us out a lot in that arena.
Easy to do.
It is. It is. So anyway, well, listen, guys, another good show. We didn't talk about surveys. We still got surveys out there that we didn't get into. So we'll maybe talk about that next week or the next time we're on to discuss the importance of surveys. And Keith, I know you're passionate about those as well as part of the buyer's broker process. So.
Well, we want to make sure when you purchase a home, you do the proper due diligence. There are no surprises, and we're going to make it as the transaction is
smooth as
turbulence-free as possible.
Yep. Thanks for listening to House Plans. We'll be back next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.